Office vacancies hit a 16-year high.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. One sign the economic recovery still has a long way to go, empty office space. A new report says office vacancies are at their highest level in 16 years. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live from our New York bureau. Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
How much empty space is that?
Well, we're talking about more than 11 million square feet that opened up just during the first quarter of this year. So that's roughly the equivalent of about four Empire State Buildings. According to the real estate research firm Reis Inc., the U.S. office vacancy rate is 17.2%, which is the highest since 1994.
Well, we had that positive unemployment report on Friday with signs employers are hiring. Could that help office space start to fill up?
Right. Well, commercial real estate lags behind the labor market. So this report says it could be another year to a year and a half after the job market stabilizes before we see a real pickup in office leasing. And some other news out today doesn't bode very well for the commercial real estate market. The Wall Street Journal reports that the number of companies filing for bankruptcy jumped 20% last month from the month before.
And what is that doing to office rents? I would think with all that empty space, there'd be some pretty good deals.
That's the good news for startups and businesses that want to expand. When you throw in incentives that landlords are offering, commercial rents are down more than 7% from a year ago. And this report says that while rents are still falling, they are starting to stabilize a bit. So Reis is expecting, and I quote, less of a bloodbath this year.
Wow, less of a bloodbath. That's something. Anyway, Marketplace's Amy Scott, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. Well, a lot of stock markets around the world were closed for Good Friday when the Labor Department brought out that unemployment report I mentioned, showing employers adding significant amount of jobs in March. So stock investors had to sit on their hands on Friday. Now they're applauding, with the shares in Europe up more than 1%. Asian stocks were up 1%. Price of a barrel of oil is also up. It hit almost $86 a barrel today in Asia. Recovery will do that to the price of oil. The Dow returns from its three-day weekend at 10,927. That is a new high for the year. When the Masters Golf Tournament starts this week, it'll get even more attention than usual with the return of Tiger Woods. More interesting than that, I think, is that for the first time, the tournament's being broadcast in 3D. Except only a few thousand people have 3D sets and the glasses and the right cable connection. So why spend all that money to film and broadcast in three dimensions? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
If you broadcast an event in 3D, but nobody is equipped to actually watch it in 3D, was it worth all the trouble? Absolutely, says James McQuivey, media analyst with Forrester Research.
Consumers aren't ready. They don't have the TV sets. But when they do, the 3D content industry wants to be ready, and so they have to do things like this.
McQuivey says networks have to get the hang of filming in 3D. Cable companies have to get used to broadcasting events in 3D, and everybody wants to get consumers used to thinking about the technology. ESPN has plans to broadcast about 40 sporting events in 3D this year. It's a big investment, but McQuivey says the industry wants to make this work.
It solves a big problem that they have, which is they think the internet is making all of their dramas and comedies and news shows less valuable.
Right now, a 3D set costs between $2,000 and $7,000, not to mention the glasses, which are at least $50 a pop. But prices are coming down, and by 2014, it's estimated about a quarter of TV sets in the U.S. will be 3D ready. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents, offering a choice of companies and coverage. You can find a local agent at 1-800-WE-INSURE.
The FDA has proposed a new rule to regulate how drug ads talk about risks and side effects. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner has that.
Drug ads are different from other commercials because drug ads, by law, have to warn you about health risks.
Cholesterol.
Here's a recent TV ad for Vytorin, a cholesterol drug. The information about side effects falls between second 33 and 51 of the ad, the low attention zone for viewers. And the pacing is about as fast as the announcer can talk without choking.
Unexplained muscle pain or weakness could be a sign of a rare but serious side effect.
Finally, though radio listeners can't appreciate this, the visuals during this are very cheerful and colorful.
The visual is mainly visual benefits, and the audio is the risks.
Sydney Wolfe is with the advocacy group Public Citizen.
And lots of studies have shown that people remember more about the benefits than they do about the risks.
Last week, the FDA proposed a rule for drug ads on radio and television. Shelley Burgess is a spokeswoman for the FDA.
This will not only result in an immediate and dramatic difference in advertising content, but it will require that advertising be clear, conspicuous, and neutral.
Clear enough, she says, for a, quote, reasonable consumer. So simpler language, slower pacing, and no distracting visuals. Derek Atcher-Levy is a lawyer who helps drug companies comply with FDA rules.
I think FDA needs to be more specific.
She says the law fails to define what a reasonable consumer is.
And so trying to understand what would be readily understandable by consumers generally, I don't think helps industry.
The public has 90 days to comment before the FDA issues the new law in June. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, writer Ian Fleming hung out at a British spy camp near Ontario, Canada. It's where he came up with James Bond. Since the camp shut down, its fancy spy weapons have been in a museum, but the museum's owner is now selling off the poison gas pen and the camera that shoots darts and the exploding fake monkey dung. Some people connected with the camp are saying, hey, that stuff was on loan to you. But the museum's owner told the Daily Mail, it's hers now. I'd be careful how I talk to people with exploding fake monkey dung. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.